But I do think about this stuff, and I get these questions like, all right, so, here's this deaf guy that can't talk. He goes back to town, starts hearing and starts talking. Somebody, somewhere, sometime is going to say, whoa, Bob's talking, or whatever his name was. I don't know. Bob is a good name. I like that name. Bob's talking. Whoa. And Bob is like, yeah, I'm talking. I can hear that. Whoa, Bob can hear. What's up with Bob? What about Bob? And I tell you what, I was looking for the application of this passage, and that was all over the map too. They had all kinds of different things that, but this is what this spoke to me, frankly. When God rocks your world, you can't help but tell somebody what happened. When God rocks your world, you can't keep it inside of you. And I'm not justifying this guy telling people or this crowd telling people when Jesus said don't tell them. I'm not justifying that. But I'm just making an observation about human nature. When God wrecks you, you got to tell somebody. So the first thing I would say, if you want to have boldness, get close to God. Let Him do something amazing in your life. Let Him show His glory in your life. Let Him show you His mercy and His compassion, how He just loves us and how His mercy, goodness and mercy follows behind us so that if we fall, it can pick us up and clean us up and love on us and strengthen us and give us the strength to keep going and try again and again and again and again. Get close to God and let Him show you the tenderness of His compassion and the greatness of His riches in Christ towards you. And just get real with Him and put away all the pretenses. Just say, God, here I am. Daddy, here I am. I love You. I want You. I want to see Your beauty. I want You to invade my life and just paint Your glory on the walls of my life. Write Your name on my heart and show me Your beauty and rock my world, because I know when You do, I won't be able to help but tell somebody what happened. If you want to be bold, just get close to Him and let Him rock your world. And you won't be able to keep it inside. When His love just buckles your knees, how are you going to keep that bottled up? And if you want to use the program, that's cool. But if you're afraid to use that, just tell somebody how much He loves you and how God loved you. And by the time that conversation gets rolling, you'll walk right into the protocol. But just start off telling them what good things God has done for you. That's number one. I wish I could have got more out of that. That's all I got out of that. It's a wild passage, man. Maybe I'll just keep studying it. Maybe God will show me something else. There's just riches in this word, man. I highly encourage you, just chew on it for a while. Just take a, don't, you know, I mean, yeah, read the Bible through in a year, but when you get done, just take some verses and just chew on them for a while in context and just see what God does with it. Acts chapter 4. It's not just the person that gets ministered to that gets bold about what God has done in their life. And I know the stock answer as to how you get boldness, and we're going to touch on that too. Acts chapter 4. Peter and John, they were bad boys. They were always getting in trouble, boy. I imagine if the Jews had TV back in the day and they had a program called Cops, it was probably called Temple Police, they probably have clips of Peter and John, What you gonna do? Acts chapter 4, coming up on verse 5. They got in trouble for preaching the gospel. They got reprimanded, told you better not do it again. And then they let him go. And in verse 23 it says, "And being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them." And so when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, "Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David have said, 'Why do the nations rage and the people plot vain things?' The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and his Christ. For truly, against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. The stock theological answer that I could give, which is a wonderful answer, I know you've heard it before, but I'm going to give it to you again because it's worth it, because it's true and it's powerful. If you want boldness, you got to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's where we get our boldness. Our flesh doesn't have any boldness in us. Our flesh is pathetic. But when you get filled with Him, when He fills you up, and you're just like a sail filled with the wind, you'll get boldness. You know, a boat without any engine, without any sails, without any oars, basically just sits in the water. Doesn't do anything. But when you raise the sail and the wind fills the sail, what happens? It moves. That boat is moved. And it is moved to go places. And when you're filled with His Spirit, you will speak the word with boldness. But let me share something else that I see in here. And that's beautiful. That is absolutely beautiful. And by saying "but," I don't mean to take anything away from it. I feel like maybe you already guessed that I was going there, and I didn't want to just stop there. They said, "Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word." Does that give the idea that maybe they were a little bit intimidated by their threats? Otherwise, they wouldn't have prayed. They wouldn't have asked. So you're standing in good shoes if you feel a little bit intimidated about sharing the gospel. It's okay. You're in good company. They were asking for boldness too. And they were saying, "Lord, look on their threats. Grant to your servants that they be filled with all boldness, that they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus." When you pray for somebody and God answers that, that'll make you bold. Man. I remember one time I prayed for a person and they actually got healed. I was like, what? They actually felt better afterwards? The pain went away? And I was like, you mean this works? I mean, I know I preach that it does every Sunday, and I subscribe to the fact that, you know, we pray because we believe that something's going to happen. But it kind of rocks your world when they actually get healed. You're like, whoa. At the end of one of the worship services this week, they said, "Oh, just, you know, put your hand on the person next to you and just pray for them that God would bless them and give them what they need." And so we're just standing there, you know, 4,000 people crammed into this room praying for one another, and there's this, you know, blah, 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 blah. You just hear all this, you know. And I'm praying for this guy, and he's praying for me, and I'm praying, "Oh, God, bless him, you know, fill his heart with joy, and bless his family." And I felt the Spirit say, you know, "Pray, bless his feet."
thinking, boy, that's weird. All right, you know, because I can be theological about that. You know, Lord, just bless his feet. You know, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, Lord. Just give him boldness. Let him carry the gospel and just bless his feet, bless his feet. And after a while, you know, the noise dies down and we're told to go back to our seats. And as we're walking back, he says, did you say bless his feet? I was like, I just felt like God told me to say bless his feet. He says, I've had this problem in my left foot that I don't know what to do because the doctors told me they've tried everything and they don't know what to do with it. You know, they've thrown up their hands and say, we can't help you anymore. How did you know? Let me tell you, man, by the time I got back to my seat, actually, the first thing I did was I let out a holler. I was like, whoa, I can't do that anymore. And the monitor, the girl with the monitor mixer who had her, you know, like little microphone on her ear was like, you know, 2 feet away. And she looks at me with those looks and points to the back as if to say, you will not do that again in my microphone. It's like, okay. It'll get you stoked. Yeah, it'll pump them up too, man. I'll tell you what, when I got healed of Crohn's, man, it just lit me up. It rang my bell. But the nurse who came in and heard about it rang her a bell too, because she was a spirit-filled, born-again Christian. And she was dancing around the room praising God and everything. But when you pray for somebody and that happens, let me tell you, man, that will rock your world too. That'll make you bold. We I don't want to drag this on, but we heard this testimony of a woman whose guts had exploded. Scar tissue had wrapped itself around, grown around her intestine and choked it off. And as that thing began to fill and bulge, one day it just burst inside of her. And they rushed her to the hospital and she survived, but they had to take out like 3 feet of her colon so she could no longer process food properly. And she says, I don't know if I should share this part. And he said, no, share it. She said, you know, she had this explode because her food, her intestines could not absorb the water because it couldn't process her food. She had this explosive diarrhea. I mean, besides the fact that it was starting to affect all her other systemic operations in her body, and her body was starting to shut down, that at any time things could happen and just, you know, embarrass her, ruin her clothes. And it's a long story, but bottom line, she got prayed for. Her body was starting to shut down so bad they called in hospice and said, you know, get your family together because we give you about 6 weeks, maybe. And she got prayed for, and the power of God just came down, starting on her head. It just worked its way down. And she got utterly, completely, absolutely healed. And the pain that just racked her constantly, day after day after day after night after day after night after day, went away. It just vaporized. She got so bold to share that what happened. I'm sorry, man. It was a long story. She began praying for other people too, and she began to see God touch them also, and seeing God do for them what He did for her, lit her on fire, and now she just goes around. She has literally abandoned herself to the gospel, just praying for people and sharing the gospel of Christ with them. It was amazing. It'll light you up. So, you want boldness, just press into God and let Him bless you. And the power of that will help free you up to share it with other people. You want boldness, go and bless other people. And seeing what God does for them will give you boldness to talk about it with other people. Finally, I just want to share this last thing out of 1 Samuel 14. The power of what boldness and courage will do. Okay, John, focus. 1 Samuel 14. Focus. There we go. When you step out in that boldness that you lay a hold of from God,
you change lives, not only the people that you directly affect, but the people around you that wish they had boldness. When they see you rise up and do that, there's something inspiring about that makes them want to be like that.